रहा है। Cool. So we're going through Deuteronomy. We're into chapters 16 and 17. We've taken a couple of little detours, but we're back on track now. Deuteronomy chapter 16, and I'm going to cover chapters 16 and 17. And this sermon's quite a lot like most sermons in that you probably will get my main point in terms of like understanding it on a human level, but if that's all that happens, then not much will happen, because like most sermons, there's like something that needs to go on beyond the words and stuff. It needs to be something that like God does in you and changes you, and the two aren't like disconnected, because God changes us through hearing his word. But I'm literally just like a mouthpiece this morning. I'm just going to speak some truth to you. But I think what we need to do before we start the sermon is just like pray that God would do that like unseen bit that like no one else can do. So should we just like pray before we start for that? Lord, I just pray that you would do that, Father God, that you would send your spirit to like do that hidden work deep in us that we just can't do ourselves. That through your word and through the truths that I attempt with my feeble human words to bring, Lord, that you just like do that work deep within us to reach into the places that we can't reach into, to help us understand the things that we can't understand, to take these things beyond an academic level and into things that do something real, like for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I've got a simple sermon this morning. And the title of it is called The Importance of Remembering. So that's the title of the sermon, The Importance of Remembering. And as we've been going through the book of Deuteronomy, there's a few themes that have been coming out. But this morning, I think in these two chapters, 16 and 17, they really help us to focus on one of the main themes or points of the book of Deuteronomy. And I think it could probably be the main theme, actually. And it's the theme of remembrance. So if you think about it, the whole book of Deuteronomy is a reminder from Moses to the people. It's his like final sermon before he dies and instructions to the people to remember what God has said and done in the past, and to remember the mistakes that their forefathers had made, and to trust in God. So the whole book is about the importance of remembering. And so I looked in my NIV study Bible, as any good preacher does before they preach, and there's like outlines of books in the back of it. I don't do that every time, I was joking, but I probably should. And I looked in the back at the outline of Deuteronomy, and it said, key word, remembrance, remembering. So just a couple of verses from Deuteronomy to highlight the importance and that theme of remembrance or remembering. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, it says this: only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And the context of that verse in particular is that it says, when God brings you into the promised land and everything's cushy, that's a paraphrase, but it basically says, and you've got nice food and you've got nice houses and you've got nice stuff, then it says, take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So they're just a couple of verses, and there's loads more about the importance of remembering. So God knows how important it is for us to remember and not forget what he has done. And I just want you to remember, no pun intended, but remember quickly who these people are and what they've seen, right? So these are the Israelites who were in slavery in Egypt. They lived in Egypt. So they would have seen the plagues. You know when God like sent those plagues? They would have seen that happen with their eyes. They would have walked through the Red Sea on dry land. They would have seen the Red Sea parting. They would have seen the pillar of fire and cloud above the tabernacle. They would have seen the Lord win battles, great battles. They would have seen all these things with their eyes, right? And God says to these people, take care in case you forget the things you've seen. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never walked through a sea on dry ground. I've never seen a plague of locusts. I've never seen thousands of people wiped out by an angel of death. I've never seen like a real huge battle on a battlefield where God is winning. I haven't seen that stuff, right? Think how vivid those things would have been for them to see. And God says to them, take care in case you forget those things. Now, my thing for you is, if those people needed to be reminded not to forget stuff, when they'd seen those things with their eyes, how much more do we need to be reminded not to forget stuff? We haven't even seen all that. We need to be reminded not to forget things. And yet, we think that we don't need to be reminded about stuff a lot of the time, don't we? If we're being honest though, with each other, and honesty is going to be a big part of this morning, we don't think we need to be reminded about stuff. We don't. So honesty alert. I was chatting, and I probably should have asked Andy, but I know Andy well enough to know he won't mind me talking about this conversation we had. I was chatting with Andy yesterday morning, and we were saying about how a lot of the time Deuteronomy is quite a hard book to preach through. And it's not because of like the mad cultural things you see in it, like stoning people to death and all that. That's not why we said it's hard to preach through, even though that is difficult stuff. But the reason we said it's hard to preach through it is because it seems like we're repeating loads of stuff that we've done before in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers. And the reason it seems like we're saying a lot of the same things again is because we are. Right? Because Deuteronomy is literally repeating what has gone before. It's the whole point of Deuteronomy. It's a call to remember, to not forget things. But here's the thing. To not forget things, you need to be reminded of them. Like, it's not default that you remember stuff. I hate to tell you this. It's not default that you remember stuff. Naomi just visibly rolled her eyes. Because I forget stuff all the time. In fact, and this is a slight tangent, the only reason Pete isn't here this morning is because I forgot that I was meant to be preaching at High Street. And I had a phone call on Friday evening. "Hi, James, it's Barbara Tucker from High Street." And in my mind, I was like, "Hi." No, in my voice, I was like, "Hi, Barbara." In my mind, I was like, "You're preaching, Jim." "Oh, yeah, Barbara, I'm preaching next Sunday, aren't I?" Reaching for the, you know, the exit door. "Oh, no, no, it's this Sunday." And then the reality dawned on me that, you know, I was going to have to sort something out. But Pete was kind enough to step in for me. But where am I going with this? Yeah, the point is, we don't remember stuff. But we don't remember stuff naturally. Our natural default is towards forgetting stuff. So in order for you and me to remember stuff, we need to be told it. And the truth is that we need to be told it over and over and over and over again. But again, if I'm being totally honest with you, the reason it feels a bit hard to preach the same things over and over again is because I think that you know it, but you don't. Like, I think you do know it. And like, it's kind of a mad circle because I think you know it because I've said it so many times to you. But you don't know it because we forget it, and that's why I have to say it so many times to you. So I get caught in this mad trap. Like they know this, don't they, God? I've been preaching for I don't know how many years now. 2004, 15 years. And I pretty much say the same thing every week to you, give or take. I pretty much do. So the temptation for me is, I think they know this, God. But you don't, and nor do I. You've heard the stories before. You've heard it already. And I'm not going to take all the blame for this, right? Maybe you think that as well. And here's where you need to kind of be a bit honest. Maybe you think you've heard all the stories before as well. Like, I mean on a story level. Yeah, I mean on a... Have you heard of the story of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea? Right, so in one sense, have you heard that before? Does that mean, like, I never need to mention it again? We all say no pretty quick, but if we're being honest, we kind of think it doesn't, because you've heard it before. Like, I'll just be telling you the same story again, and it's an awesome story, don't get me wrong. But you and me sometimes think we don't need to hear it anymore because we've heard it. Why do I need to be reminded again? Why do I need to remind myself again? And as I was thinking about it after my chat with Andy, I just got really challenged. Because in one sense, it's true. I do know, like, a lot about the Bible. And that's not me blowing up my own trumpet, but I've read it loads. I've read the stories loads. I do know a lot about the words in the Bible and the stories. I do know those truths of God. So what's going on when I get a little bit annoyed or a little bit frustrated about being reminded about stuff? What's going on with that? So this is where I try and use some like silly analogies, right? I hope they get close to the point I'm trying to make, but they won't nail the point because God's going to have to do that because I can't explain it. So here's my stupid analogies. The reason I get annoyed sometimes in either having to remind you of things again or having to be reminded of things again is because I'm thinking of them in terms of the way I've remembered the alphabet. I'm thinking of them in terms of the way I've remembered my 7 times table. I'm thinking in terms of like the facts. That's a key thing right there. I'm thinking in terms of the facts. The clinical things that have happened. So if someone said this morning, like we had a guest preacher and they come in and they said, "I want to remind you this morning of the alphabet." Okay? Sing along with me. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, you know, you get the point. You'd switch off pretty, it sounds funny first of all, but you'd switch off pretty quick. And why would you switch off pretty quick? Because you know the alphabet, right? But I hope you do. You know the alphabet. So why is this lunatic teaching me the alphabet? I know it. I'd even switch off pretty quickly probably because I don't think I need to hear it again because I know it. And there's a tendency, even if we wouldn't admit it again, to put spiritual things in that box. To think that you know it. Because you can tell me the story. You can reel off the biblical answer. And so you put it in that category that you know it. It's done. It's finished. So even when I start or anyone starts talking to you about that again, it's kind of in that know it box. You've heard it so many times. And that's the kind of other danger, isn't it? That like you've been going to church for years and you've heard the same stories over and over again. So you don't want to, but subconsciously you kind of switch off. It's the same thing again. It's the same thing of just familiarity breeds contempt. Like. And here's why we do that. And I'm not judging you in this, by the way, because I do it. I do it as well. And there's probably some people who are thinking I don't do that at all, and that's fine. This probably isn't for you. But I bet 90% of you do. And the reason we do it is because of this. Everyone wants new stuff. Everyone wants new stuff. Like, you all want the next new episode of your favourite TV programme. I do. But I'm looking forward to the new episode of Vigil tonight. I don't want to watch the other ones because they're done. Like, I want a new one. I want new stuff. Give me new stuff. What's that thing on the new songs? I want new things. New episodes of your favourite TV programme. New games for your console. You want new clothes. We don't want to hear the same things over and over and over. We group things into things we've got, things we haven't got. You know, like a bucket list of things you want to do? That's basically a list of things you've done and things you haven't done. So you want new stuff. Like, you don't do the stuff on your bucket list you've done. You want new things. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm as adventurous as the next person. I want new experiences and stuff. But, like, some of the things you've done are good. It's good too. So what's an alternative to that? What's an alternative to like learning the alphabet and like truth being like learning the alphabet or learning your times table? What's the alternative to that? Well, the best way to describe that is...
Got the props.
They're not like massively exciting, so don't build your hopes up too much. So the first prop, the alternative to like reminding myself of stuff, like being like the alphabet or something, or being like learning my times table, is like this. It's a picture of my kids. Like this is on my desk at home. And it says, "We love you, Daddy." And then it's got Benjamin, Jacob and Isabella, and it's got them when they were cute. years ago. Yeah. I'm joking. Right, so this is where it gets a little bit hard to quantify things. Because like, let me ask you a question. Do I know these people? Do I know I was there, like, baking with them that day? Oh, yeah, of course I do. They're the facts. They're the clinical facts. But what's the difference, like, between this picture as a reminder? Because that's what it is. Like, this picture's on my desk as a reminder for me. So what's the difference between this picture and me knowing the alphabet? And I try to, like, answer that question in my mind, and it's quite hard to do, actually. So some of the things I came to the conclusion of, and how it's different, is this is life. But even that still kind of doesn't get to the difference, because the alphabet's life too. And the alphabet helped me learn to read and write. And if I didn't know the alphabet, I couldn't preach this sermon. So the alphabet's kind of life too. So it's not that, even though it kind of is, if you know what I mean. It's real life. When I look at that picture, when I choose to remind myself of those events, I don't look at the picture and say, oh, I have to look at that picture again now. It's so important to remember things. James, look at the picture. Look at the picture, James. I don't do that. I had to do that when I learned the alphabet. I had to go for the whole ABC, but I don't have to do that with this picture. So why? The picture is a reminder to me of how faithful God's been to me over the years. How faithful God has been to my kids. How faithful God has been to Naomi. And you'll notice that I still haven't really said what the difference is between just a bunch of facts and a picture, because I want you to think about that. And this is the main point of what's going on in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Because God knows that the people need to remember things, he tells them to have these feasts. He tells them to have these parties specifically to remember the things he's done for them. And there's three feasts in chapter 16. The Passover feast. And in the Passover feast, they were reminded that God's judgment had passed over them. The Feast of Weeks. And the main point of that feast was to remind them, for them to remember that they were once slaves, but now that they're no longer slaves. And then the Feast of Booths, which Pete talked about with the lovely... Booth up there. Which it was basically to remind them that they used to wander around in tents, and now they've been given a permanent home. But he didn't tell them to do this. When I want you to think of Passover, when I want you to remember Passover, I want you to note the times that it happened, okay? So, like, you put the lamb in the oven. You put the lamb in the oven at 5:06. There, you cook it for 45 minutes. And you take it out when the buzzer goes off. Paint the blood over your doorposts at 6:29. Then you get your head down. He didn't say that, did he? In other words, he didn't say, learn a load of facts. He said, have a party. Have a party to remember what I've done for you. I think that's like getting close to the difference between the alphabet and the picture. I think, in my head. One's clinical, facts, boring. The other one's a party. The other one's real. The other one's, my kids. Do you know what I mean? Real life, I'm in the picture, not... I'm just spewing out a load of facts, but I don't know it. I'm there. And He wants us to remember things in the right way. And now I'm like honing in on my main point. He wants you to remember things in the right way. He wants you to like get out of this clinical A, B, C, D, blah, blah. I know this verse. Yes, I do. Blah, and go deeper. When I was preparing this sermon, it was mad. But like it sounds like gobbledygook. I know it does. But deep down, I know you get what I'm saying. And that's why my hope, I know that God is making a mess of this. He's sorry, Lord, you know what I mean? God is cleaning up my mess. He's making sense of my mess, right? So he does. He doesn't want you to learn the alphabet. And that's the main point of what's going on in chapter 16. He doesn't give them clinical historical accounts. He gives them parties. So why is remembering so important? You know, that's the next question. Why is remembering so important? And it's because when individuals, when you or me, or when nations forget God, then it starts to lead down a slippery slope. And it's the slope of chapter 17. So what goes on in chapter 17 is that God talks about people who have gone after worshipping other things. And in chapter 17, it's like different altars that they set up. It's even the sun and the moon they start worshipping, things like that. And then it goes on to say that like people have started going after, seeking after wisdom from the wrong kinds of people. They're not going to the priests anymore. They're going to these other people to get wisdom from. So God says, don't do that. Like, you know, come to me first for wisdom. So God is saying, don't go to other places to worship. Come to me. Don't go to other places for wisdom. Come to me. And then at the end of 17, he says, when you eventually appoint a king, because I know you're going to want to do that, make sure it's the king I tell you and not your own one. So each of these times he's saying, if you forget me, you're going to start going after other stuff. So remember me to protect you from that. Now, these are the kind of things that we can fall into when we forget God, and it can be really subtle. Now, I would be surprised if anyone here comes into the service next week and says, Jim or any one of the other elders, I've got something to confess. I'm no longer following Jesus. I'm a moon worshipper now. Because it doesn't normally happen overnight. Right? What normally happens is it's a slow fade. It doesn't go black to white. It goes like through grey. You start to like forget what God has done for you on a micro level. And then before you know it, you're quite far from him. And then you're starting to worship other things. And like I say, you probably won't be bowing down to the moon. But you probably won't be doing a lot of other things either. We forget what God has done for us and we gradually start to worship other things. We gradually start to lean towards our own understanding and not coming to him first. We start to consider worldly wisdom rather than the things that God says. So there's the dangers of not remembering. And just as God gave the Israelites ways to remember things, he's given us ways to remember things today. One of those is the Lord's Supper. So Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. But if I only ever remembered when I take communion, that wouldn't be enough for me. My brain's like a sieve. I forget things. So I need to set things up in my life to make a point that I remember the goodness of God. And here's a big thing. You need to be active in remembering God's goodness to you. Because if you're not active in that, you will be passive and you will forget. You have to set things up in your life that cause you to remember what God has done for you. It's an active thing. So just like the Israelites had these different feasts, we need to be remembering what God has done for us in the past to set us free from his righteous judgment, the Passover feast. We've got to remember what God is doing in our lives right now, that we have been set free from sin. We've been set free from slavery to sin. And we need to remind ourselves often of what's coming in the future, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me. So I no longer have to wander around in this tent anymore, but he's going to set up a mansion for me, or a dwelling place, whatever you want to call it. And I need to build things into my life to remind me of that. Everything in this world is designed to suck your eyes away from that stuff and onto rubbish. You have to build things into your life to turn your eyes away from that and onto God. Because your default and my default is to be sucked towards the rubbish. So my question for you is, what things have you got in your life to cause yourself to remember the goodness of God? And the one place that reminds us of what God has done for us more than any other is the place as the cross of Jesus. The cross where Jesus died. Because it was on that cross where Jesus took the judgment from his Father that I deserve. He's my Passover lamb. When Jesus died on the cross, the old James died with him. See, you've heard these things before, haven't it? You've heard these things loads of times before. Loads. But don't switch off. You don't know them. You don't know them. I know you think you do, but you don't. When Jesus died on the cross, you, the old you, died with him. And when Jesus was raised, a new person was raised. Someone who's not under slavery anymore. Someone who's been set free from sin. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I'm going, you can also be. The three things that the Israelites remembered in their feast, we need to remember those too. And I encourage you to build things into your lives which cause you to remember those things often. Not remember them like the alphabet, but remember them like the picture. How do you remember something not like the alphabet and like a picture? I don't know. I don't know. That's for you. You to decide in a lot of respects. But a lot of you know right now that like the truth to you is like the alphabet at the moment. And the best place to start is to just say this. God, I think some of your truths has become a bit to me like the alphabet and I just know it in my head. And I want it to be like the picture. Like I want to look at a picture which says, it's got your writing at the top, God, and it says, I love you, James. And then I want to see the picture of you on the cross, Jesus, and I want to get it. I want to be in the picture. The amount of kids I used to speak to walking down to St. Albans School when we were doing open air preaching, and I used to ask them the same question. Do you know why Jesus died on the cross? Yeah, he died for our sins. Are you a Christian? No. It was just the alphabet. It was just the alphabet. And there's so much more than just the alphabet. Like, there's so much more than just knowing the stock phrase, Jesus died for my sins. What kind of things can you do to build remembrance into your life? Well, God gave them different things to do to help them remember things. And I'm going to give you an example of one thing I do to help me remember now. And I don't really like giving examples, because the tendency of human beings is to have an example given to them and then be like, oh, just do that then. I'll copy it. You fall into the old copying thing. But I hope if anything from this sermon you've got, it's about reality, not copying. Right? So this is one thing I do. And if I was to say, like, a few months ago, Andy did a sermon about one of the things that God got the people to do to remind them of his goodness, what was it? And I'll give you one clue: embroidery. Yeah? What was it? I'm not going to press you because you've forgotten already. But it's... yeah. Like, put a blue tassel on your thing, right? Now, you might think, oh, James has gone old school and he's just copying the Old Testament. But here's the thing. Right, the reason I'm using this analogy is because I know, like, 99% of you won't copy it. And this is why you won't copy it, because this is my running vest. This is my running vest. So 99% of you won't copy it. And then I'll knock out the other 1%. This is the tassel on my running vest. And I'm looking at Andy because he's the other 1%. This is the tassel on my running vest. Now, why have I put a tassel on my running vest? Because when I go out running, in my mind, what I'm doing, and I know you guys don't judge me, which is why I can be quite open with you, but in my mind, what I'm doing a lot of the time is running away from life stuff. Like, running away from house noise, running away from whining kids. I love you, kids. Running away from that work day. Yeah, I close off that work day. I'm off for a run, Naomi, out. In other words, the prime objective most of the time in my runs is to forget everything. Like, forget everything. The exact opposite to what I've just been telling you guys to do, which is to remember stuff. So, before I go out the door to forget everything, this reminds me that the aim, James, isn't to forget everything. The aim is to remember everything I've done for you. And then just that little tassel reminds me of that. Then I can go on my run with a different mindset. What's your blue tassel? That's what I'm saying. Like, what's your blue tassel? Like, what's that thing or things that you're going to build into your life now off the back of this? Because this requires action. What are you going to build into your life to remember God's goodness? To remember the things he's done for you to stop you drifting into that forgetfulness? So I'm going to leave that with you. And the reality is, and Simon says this quite a lot, the reality is that if you've been coming to church more than a few years, right, 90%, I'd probably say like higher, of what you hear from the front, you're going to have heard already. Like 90% higher. Very occasionally you'll hear one of us preach a sermon and it won't necessarily be a new thing, but it might be like, oh, I've never heard it explained like that before, or I've never seen it from that angle before. But that's not the norm for you. I know it isn't. 90% you've heard it before. But the reason you should come to church is because you know you need to hear it again. You know you need to hear it again. And the moment you don't think you need to hear it again, it might be the alphabet. It might be the alphabet. It might be just that clinical going through the motions thing. But the main reason I come to church is so I can be reminded by you guys of the same things over and over and over and over again. And I want to say to you guys that I will never, ever, ever get fed up of you telling me that Jesus died for me. And I'm going to tell you that until the day I die. So if you're looking for new stuff, you're probably in the wrong church. Because I'm going to keep telling you the same thing over and over again. And one of the ways that we remind each other of this stuff is that we sing it to each other. And I love that, don't you? Because it's the difference between the alphabet and the picture. It's the difference between the clinical and the real. Like, we're singing it to each other. We're having a party. And the song that we're going to sing as we close, the first line of it is this. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. Now, you can sing that just like words, or you can cast your mind to Calvary. Remember that place where Jesus died for you. And you can actively go there. You can actively go there in your mind. Be in the picture, like. Be in God's plan. Be in his coach. Don't just reel off the words. And as we sing, just let your brothers and sisters, just let your family remind you of these truths again. As the prophet Jeremiah said when he was struggling, he said this. This I call to mind. This I remember and have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Lord, as we come to sing, I just pray that you'll get us out of alphabet mode and into picture mode. I just pray, Lord, that only you can do that, Lord. Only you can do that. Only you can take me out of academic mode and into your real life, your real true life. And I just pray, Lord, that you do that now. You do that for all of us. That you'd help us to cast our minds to Calvary, to sing to one another, to remind each other of these awesome, awesome things that you've done for us. Lord, I just pray, and you know my heart on this, Lord, but if there's anyone who's never gone from just knowing the phrase, Jesus died for me, as words, and not really, Lord, take them there, really, please. Only you can make that change from knowing it as words and knowing you. And I pray you'll just do that, Lord. I pray you'll do that. You'll take us all, but especially those who have never come. Just take them into your family. And Lord, just guard us from going through the motions. Like, guard me from going through the motions. and just take us to that deeper place with you, Lord, that reality. So often that reality just looks like hearing the same things over and over again. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just help us to do things that are individual to us, to put things in our lives that help us to turn our eyes towards the hills. Help us to turn our eyes towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.